Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be here. We continue to run this race. It is a long race. It's a race that requires stamina. Some of y'all know about stamina in running. It requires stamina. It requires a certain attitude. It's a never say die attitude. And I'm gonna win no matter what. The good news is that we are already winners because Jesus has already ran the race.
Amen.
And he's appropriated it to us.
Yes.
And so we simply need to know the right kind of running shoes.
Amen.
We need the best kind of running gear.
Amen.
Amen. Might need to put a little oxygen in our bag. I'd have to put some oxygen in my bag.
I need a tank.
You need a tank. But then whatever it takes in order to run this race, we're going to run this race. We're going to keep going no matter what. The only thing we have is the finish line in sight. And it looks different for everyone, but I guarantee you there is a finish line for us all. I want to talk this morning about a subject matter that the Lord gave me the title on the 14th. I woke up. The title is Perpetuating Faith. All I got was a title, and of course I had from that point till this morning to meditate on what in the world that meant, and why did that come to mind. And so we're going to be bouncing perhaps back and forth between Hebrews 11 and Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 1. Hebrews 11 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made up of things which do appear. Do you know that everything that God made, he made out of nothing? Everything that exists now started in him, if it started at all. And so what we're seeing is not made of what we're looking at, in other words. That still perplexes me. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you look upon this word as you did at the very beginning. And Lord, let your spirit move and brood upon this word. And then, Lord, may you speak to our hearts those things that we need to hear. Touch us, Lord, where we are. Speak to us individually. And we thank you in advance for your wonderful blessedness and your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. After receiving faith for salvation, you become a new creature with new abilities. You gain abilities that you did not have before Jesus came into your life. You're a whole new creature. Living by faith, however, is not always easy. Why? Because true faithfulness calls for some things that don't come so natural to us all the time. Something like surrender. We're too prone to fighting. True faith, it calls for denying self. Oh no. Self-preservation. It calls for forgiving the wrong that's done to you. Oh no, I must avenge myself. They can't get away with it. It calls for giving as directed by God and according to your conscience. I don't need nobody to tell me how to give. I can give how I want to give, when I want to give. It calls for turning away from vengeance. Accepting the wrong. Now, when you think about it, you have to pray and ask for faith to walk in faith. You need some help with this. If you think that you're going to take it and interpret it with your own little natural mind and then start running off into it, you're going to be headed out in the sunset by yourself out there doing some strange, odd thing. We need to pray for faith. And always remember, Jesus made a statement. It's one statement here. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We got to remember that. That without him, we can't do anything. We can't do nothing. No thing. I want to look at faith here. We're going to look in Genesis 1. Look at a couple of the individuals of faith, some faith examples. The first one I want to look at is one that's indisputable. That'd be God in Genesis 1. Have you ever thought that God was the originator of faith? He was the first one that moved in faith. Bible says in Genesis chapter 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I've read so many different theological accounts and opinions about the first three chapters, the first three verses of Genesis. They're saying, well, God never creates chaos, and so something happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3 and 2, and the big ice age hit, and it was void again. He created beauty. They're just sort of interjecting into things. But see, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, and in its original state, it was without form and void. That's how he originally created it. I think that's good enough for me, that his original creation was without form and void. Let's just run with that and just keep it there, and let's not inject any more than what the scripture gives us the ability to inject. But listen, something happened that his spirit moved. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's a rhema. That's an utterance of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand. And our understanding is opened by faith. You've got to be by faith because you don't see it. And so we accept and we believe it by faith. But one thing I want you to know is that where it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, it means that his spirit brooded. As a hen or a bird would brood over its eggs or brood over its tiny chicks. It covered, it brooded, it incubated. His spirit just moved over this face of the water, see? And then he said, let there be light. Now, I want you to know the sequence of actions of this particular faith in creation. And this is the first identified action of faith. First of all, God did the creating. He's the originator. He started it all. So first, there always must be God, number one, first in everything. Even in your faith, it must be him first. Second, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved, and then it says that God spoke. And so, unless the Spirit of God moves, you need to be very suspect of what's being spoken. Because we need God in the words that we get. We need the Spirit of God to be moving. And for the Spirit of God to move, God's man can't be used by God if the Spirit of God doesn't move upon him to be used. And so it's necessary that we allow God to be God in our lives and not pick up a bunch of spurious doctrines and things out there that no God has spoken of and no God has breathed upon. Get it from him. Get it from his word. So those are three important sequences of faith. God, the Spirit moving, and then him speaking. The next person in Genesis 4 we're going to look at is Abel. Abel. Adam and Eve's first offsprings were two brothers. I've heard one person say they might have been twins because it says that Adam knew his wife and that Eve bare a son. The first son was Cain, and then she bare again, and the second son was Abel. It didn't say that he knew her a second time, so you kind of inject a little bit. So, I mean, they were two brothers. They pretty much showed up around the same time in Scripture. Of course, Cain showed up first. And so Cain was a farmer, and Abel kept the livestock. So Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, from his agricultural efforts, an offering to the Lord there in verse 3 in Genesis 4. And in verse 4, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock. The Bible says that God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. Wondered about that. Well, in Genesis 3:17, God made a statement to Adam. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. And so the ground was considered cursed based upon God's pronouncement to Adam in 3:17. So Cain brings an offering from the ground to God, was not accepted. Abel brings an offering from the fattening of the flock, meaning there was the shedding of blood. There was repentance that went on. God accepts that. He accepts the repentance. He accepts the repentant approach. Now, God spoke with Cain about this and said, look, if you just change your mind, change your ways, it'll be accepted of you also. But Cain would not hear that. Instead, through jealousy and hatred, he killed his brother, Abel. Why? Because God accepted his brother's offering and rejected his. God said something very peculiar to Cain, in my estimation, and still has always been. He asked him, what have you done? Hey, am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me? Am I my brother's keeper? He said, the voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. That was righteous blood that's crying out from the ground. Hebrews 11:4 tells us that by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. And so it was the voice of righteous Abel that cried out of the ground towards God. So righteousness cries out to God. Righteousness done wrong. Righteousness not accepted. Righteousness killed or destroyed. God recognizes righteousness. The voice of righteous Abel's blood cried out to him from the ground. And the Bible says, yet him being yet dead speaks. That even today he speaks through the agency of righteousness. He still speaks. God still recognizes righteousness. It's something that was established at the time. But not only that, God heard his voice in Genesis 4:10. And listen, the Bible says way back in the Old Testament there that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And God made a point to let him know that I hear your brother crying out to me. What you've done, I hear your brother witnessing against you. And then so Abel received a good report here in Hebrews 11 because of his righteousness. The third character of faith we want to look at is Enoch. In Genesis 5:21 states, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. He was the oldest, as we know, living man ever, Methuselah. Well, Enoch was his daddy, and begat Methuselah. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So he didn't walk with God 365 years. It was 300 years that he walked with God. That'd be 3 centuries in our time. That he walked with God 300 years. And all of the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, if you look back in Genesis 3, 4, 5, back there, where they said that this one begat this one, and this one begat that one, and he lived these so many years, and he died. And this one begat that one, and they go, and he lived so many years, and he died. Coming down, every time you read about one of the forefathers that begot one, that eventually he lived so many years and he died. Enoch was the exception here, that Enoch lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Didn't say that he died. It says that he was not, for God took him. Yes. The phrase walk with God is a common phrase in Eastern countries denoting constant and familiar interaction. Constant and familiar interaction. What's constant? Well, it kind of goes along with the Bible saying that you should pray always. Amen. with all prayer, supplication in the spirit, and watching with all perseverance for all of the saints. And so the Bible says, pray always. He said, well, who can pray always? Just start.
Amen.
Don't figure it out. Just start praying always. Keep doing it. In other words, pray more and more. Pray more than you have prayed. Pray about more things than you've prayed about. Continually move and operate in this area, and you get closer and more constant with God in your life. I believe you begin to see and hear things because what you're doing is you're interacting in a whole different realm than you are here on this earth level. You're interacting on a heavenly level. And so that's why prayer is important. Prayer is the breath of the spirit man, just as regular air is the breath to the physical man. Our prayer and our communication link with heaven, it is important that we pray and have that kind of contact with him and think upon him and meditate upon his word and meditate upon his ways and spend our time thinking and interacting more with him. Hebrews 11:5 tells us by faith Enoch was translated. It says he took him, but Hebrews 11 tells us that he was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It says he was not found. You know what that means? His wife was looking for him. That means his children were looking for him. They were yelling, Dad, Dad, where are you? Well, he always takes a walk up there, and he sometimes spent all day up there. He usually comes back down. Well, did he come down? He didn't come down yet. Well, let's just wait. Dad, where's it? Dad, Dad, where are you? It's dinner time. Mom said, come home. And say, well, you all better go find him. The Bible says he wasn't found. They could not find him. That means that they searched for him, and they could not find him. He was nowhere on earth to be found, because the Bible says God took him. This was a man of faith. And this also it also comes before the famous rapture that we're looking forward to one day with God coming and taking us. This is a wonderful shadow and a wonderful type of the rapture. Abel was a wonderful type of righteousness. And of course, God is the type of faith of all levels and all types. And so the Old Testament is simply overshadowing. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, we'll go there. But let me ask you a question before we go there. Do you want to please God?
Amen.
Do you want to please God?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see that seeking, the diligence, that is a continual moving towards. Even if you get distracted, come to yourself and say, wait a minute, no. What about, what does God say about this? And where do I stand with this in you, Lord? And it's a continual seeking and a diligence about your life and your style and your ways, in your work, and in your home, and in your church. How should I handle this, Lord? What does your word say to me? Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. He says, it's not possible to please him without faith. Without faith, it is not possible to please him. Why? Because if you come to him, and to come to him means the time when you accept him at the very beginning. In other words, if there's no faith for salvation, there's no faith anywhere else. It always starts at salvation with this relationship and walk with God. Faith for him. So he that comes to God first must believe. And so you get into the kingdom, you come into the kingdom by faith or by your belief, by what you believe. Listen, we believe not having seen. We believe that there was a creation. We haven't seen it. We believe that Enoch walked the earth. In my heart, deep down inside, I truly, honestly believe that Enoch walked this earth. We believe that what happened back in the New Testament and those things that we read about with Peter and James and John and all of those and the Mount of Transfiguration, it is a reality in my mind. I honestly do believe those. I believe that he walked on the water. I really believe that he did. In my heart, there's some, though I haven't seen it, But there's something in me that witnesses would be my spirit and witnessing and the Holy Ghost witnessing to my spirit that these things are true. Listen, you're different. You're new creatures. I can promise you out here, you go talking about Jesus walking on the water, raising the dead, they'll say, well, that's, you know, and Mickey Mouse can play Yankee Doodle Dandy or something. I mean, it means about that much sense to them. And they look at you and roll their eyes and say, well, good for you. We got one that just fell off the wagon here and called the authorities. We need to take this one away. Think about it. Now, think about it. You go out there and start talking what we believe and talking about what Jesus did and who Jesus is and the fact that we're going to be caught away into heaven one day. Now, think about it. How much natural sense does it make that I might walk out here one day and just be caught up into the air, into the clouds with Jesus? I know it's hard to go back there, but just think about it. Just think about it. How much natural sense does it make that a man can walk on water? Have you ever seen one walk on water?
No.
But he did.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot convince me with your argument that he did not. Because by faith I know that he did. By faith I know. You cannot tell me that God has not come into my life because I know what I was before and I know what I am now. And I can tell you the difference is like night and day between those two men. I know what I was. And I look at what I am now and it is a marked difference. Something very phenomenal happened in my life because of the operation of God in my life. And in yours too. You're not where you were.
Amen.
3 years ago.
Amen.
You sure not where you were 5 years ago.
Amen.
You look back and if you had a click there and click here, you go, my goodness. they don't even look the same.
Amen.
And so as we go, we progressively grow in this. We progressively get closer and better and we develop in faith. And nobody's where they want to be. Nobody feels, you know, I don't know about you. I know there's more for me to go. There's more for me to grow. But thank God I'm where I am. I thank him. I thank you, Lord, for where you have brought me today. And I thank him for where he has brought you as well. Hebrews 11:7 goes on and through 19. And it's a long line of Old Testament saints that walked by faith. There's no way we're going to go through all of this and read through it. I tried reading through it at home and I said, nope. Noah prepared the ark. He was a man of faith. Noah saved himself and his family, his children, his sons, their wives, his wife. Abraham did something that was unprecedented in those days. He left his homeland for a then unknown location. We don't hardly do that today, leave our house and not have a destination. Just not even going from here to Publix. I know I'm going to Publix. And so I rallied my mind which way I'm going. Well, not only did he leave and not know whether he was going to the market or something, he left his homeland and just took off walking, going. He did not know where he was going, except he knew that God led him to do it. That takes some belief to do something like that. Sarah, his wife, received strength to have a child. The woman was 90 years old. It was far, far past the time for a woman to conceive. But she conceived. And she not only conceived, but she bare this son, and they named him Isaac. Abraham was 100. Going to do what, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, okay. I'm going to watch this happen, right? Amen. Thank you. When he was tried with his son Isaac, and he was told, I want you to bring your son, your only son, into a mount that I will show you, and there I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Abraham did not hesitate. I imagine he was going over in his mind about this son, but God had said something to him about Isaac. He said, and these shall all the nations of the world be blessed by your seed. And so Abraham believed that. So he took off with his servant and with Isaac and with the wood and with the fire and with the knife. And he was headed again looking for a place that God was going to show him. And when he found the place, he went up in the, Isaac say, "A father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" Not knowing that he was the sacrifice. And Abraham said something that was so prophetic. He said, "The Lord himself will provide a sacrifice." He did not realize how powerful that thing was. Because the knife was about to come down, and Abraham was stopped in mid-movement. "Do the child no harm, for now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you..." Listen, that is a trial of faith. And he passed it. He was being tried. I don't know if God didn't know, God had to know, but Abraham apparently had to know just exactly who he was and to what extent he'd go with his faith in God. And in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. Isaac was dead. He was he had already got his mind around it. His heart was set. "This boy is going to die. When we get there, he's going to die. I'm going to, sure enough, as God has told me to do it, I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to plunge it into this child. And I'm going to kill him because God told me to do it." Wow. What faith. God can hardly get us to take an apple pie across the street because it costs $7. Or you can cook it. Amen. But this is the extent to which your faith could be tried. And bless God, he did. Hebrews 11:20-40 continues this good report, because it says that the elders obtained a good report. And Hebrews 11 is a picture of a good report that the elders obtained. So verse 20 continues the good report on through 40 of other elders like Jacob. Jacob was a man of faith. Joseph, Moses, and his faithful parents. Rahab, because they were killing all of the male children when Moses was born. The Pharaoh said, "Kill every boy child that's born into this world." Every boy child. But his parents hid him because they saw that he was a child, a proper child, and one that God smiled upon. So his parents, his mother and father, were faithful. Rahab, another, a female. But she's in this hall of faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets were all faith-filled heroes. And we hear about them. We've heard about them throughout our lives, about these different heroes of the faith. And so faith is not something that's foreign. It has been practiced in the earth since the creation of this world. If one is to please God, it's only by faith that this can be accomplished. It's only by faith. It would do us well to biblically identify faith. Hebrews again 11:1 tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not seen." Substance here signifies subsistence. It's the subsistence. That means that which becomes a foundation for another thing to stand upon. So faith is the subsistence of things hoped for another thing to stand upon. It signifies such a conviction that's produced by the mind by some demonstration of a matter in such a way that no doubt remains. It produces actions in such a way that when you realize and see it, that no doubt remains. No doubt remains. And that faith is that substance that moves, the subsistence that undergirds the thing that really is going to sit upon on top of faith. Some people have faith in faith, but faith is a substance, a subsistence. And so folks go out running around, "I have faith here, and I have faith in that, and I have faith in that." Folks have told me, "Leroy, I have faith in you." But I thank them because I know what they're trying to say, that they believe in my abilities. But you can't have faith in me. I mean, but yeah, I know what they're saying. So sometimes they're misusing the term faith. And so if that's what it is about, it's the foundation. It's the thing that other things stands. It stands for the conviction that is produced where no doubt is remained. The substance. Once demonstrated, and once it's demonstrated, and once you see this substance demonstrated, Then you have what's called justifying faith. You have a faith, an unshakable faith, once you identify, unshakable. And this is the thing, this unshakable faith is what supports the peace of God, things like the peace of God, which passes understanding. When everything is falling apart around you and you're sitting in the midst of the storm and you're barely moved by it. Folks, aren't you worried? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you freaking out about this? No. Why not? Because I know that God is in control. God is in control. Well, where'd you learn that? Because you've seen in the past his hand move before. And you've had established in your life this thing that is unmistakable. Your faith has been established in him. And you know that he's in control. And so you have a peace which passes understanding. This justifying faith, it can cause the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It can cause you to love in a way that natural men don't love, won't love, can't love. I knew a lady that said that I'm a Christian, but I can't stand that person there. And that person there was a Christian too, I happen to know. And I say, well, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. And she's a Christian, right? Yeah. I say, well, y'all enemies then. Yeah. I say, well, you gonna pray for her?
Amen.
You say, well, I can't lie. No. Yeah, her faith had not been established just yet. Because no matter how bad a person is, your enemies are. It says to pray for your enemies. You know what you want to do for your enemies, right? Y'all?
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturally, there's no question. You know that you want to get a gang together and let's go visit them around 1-2 a.m. in the morning and get them. But it tells us differently. And all, you can only do that by faith. But look, it takes that in order to please God. It takes that kind of faith. This justifying or undergirding kind of faith. It's the witness of the Spirit of God with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God. That we have had our sins fully forgiven. You can say, well, I sure don't feel forgiven. I always say, thank God, ain't you glad today based on your feelings?
Yeah.
I didn't feel too saved this morning when I got up. Thank God it's not based on my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said before, sometimes you have a dream and you wake up so depressed you don't know what to do with yourself.
Yes.
And you sit up and you say, where's God in this? He hadn't moved. Nothing's changed. Or some other emotional thing. See, if we go by emotions, we're going to be back and forth, back and forth. But if we go by faith in the word and what God say and who he say we are, then he'll keep us at least on an even keel here. We need to stay here. Anytime the angels would show us something very surprising would happen, the first thing you hear is, fear not. Fear not. In other words, don't be anxious. For some reason, God is concerned about our anxiety. He does not want us to be anxious. And he'll say, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. This evidence of things unseen. The substance of things hoped for. Hope for signifies the peace of God. That's which is hoped for. The peace of God and those blessings by which the soul is prepared for the kingdom of God. It's the peace, those things that are hoped for, that things where your soul is ready for, is prepared for that which is to come. Romans 8:24 tells us that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Or we fully expect it. We are fully in expectation of that which we have not yet seen. I am. I hope to be preaching and disappear one Sunday and be gone, and I hope all of y'all disappear with me. If y'all don't disappear, your next reading assignment will be the book of Revelation. Start in chapter 1 and just start reading and learn that book. Here it comes. Here it comes. Just start reading, but I hope it will all go. About this hope. In an extended sense, the things that are hoped for are the resurrection of the body. We hope for that. the new heaven and the new earth. We hardly talk much about that, but there's one coming. Our heavenly country, which is Abraham sought a different country that was heavenly. And we're also, this is not, we're sojourners. We're just passing through here. We don't even have rights in this land. We're just aliens in this land. We're new creatures, different creatures. And so we're looking forward to our new country. And we're looking forward to the possession of the eternal glory that's promised to us. And it's going to be glorious. Our minds can't even fathom the glory that he has for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. The people of this world are influenced by that which is seen. They are. They seek wealth. They seek recognition. They seek influence, honor, praise. And for many things that this world furnishes, the people of this world are like that. We're not surprised. I'm not surprised. I did too before I became a new creature. We all did before we became new creatures. Some of us still seek it, but it's a waste of time, and you should know that it is, because all of this is going to pass away, and we know that. They live as though they should not be influenced by the things which are unseen. Christians, on the other hand, we are firmly convinced of the realities of heaven. I don't think I can talk you out of this. I don't care how bad you are or how deep you are still struggling with sin. I don't care how much it has gotten a hold of you that you're still trying to shake off. If I try to talk you out of the reality of heaven, I believe I'd have a long day ahead of me.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't think I can do it. Why? It's deeply embedded in us. We just know it. I know that I know. Well, it's the Redeemer. It's deeply embedded in us. You can't beat this out of me. You can't kill it out of me. It's there. Even if you, whatever you do, it's there. It's in me. I can't be what I'm not. And so we're entrenched with the realities of heaven and a Redeemer as though we've already seen it with our own eyes. We're that entrenched as though we've seen it. Our course here on the earth is not by appearance. You and I know we cannot go by what we see in this earth today. We do know that one of our enemies is called the world. The world is our enemy. Mm-hmm. It'll come against you. It'll work against you. It will buffet you. And so we don't do that. Our life is governed by faith in our immortal hope. Faith in that which we look for. I look forward to this, and not the outward appearance of present things. It's not based. You need money, right? You know what I mean? Keep it balanced. You need money because you got bills. You need to eat. You need clothing. You need gas. You understand? These things, we're still human beings. What I'm saying is that our hearts and our treasures should be in the right place. And our hearts and our treasures should be heavenly treasures. Now, Romans 10:17 tells us, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word or the rhema of God. Now, I'm glad that you came today, because this is the word of God that is being given to you. And so as a result, you are presently receiving faith for faith, because the message is about faith. And so you're receiving faith for faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And I'm God's man, so I'm speaking his word, so you're receiving faith for faith. And so now you have been equipped with this, with faith for faith. But listen, there's a whole lot more for you to be equipped with. And unfortunately, I don't get to preach to you every day of the week. I would, if I could, but I know y'all drop out some of those days. But you have scriptures. You have the word. You have the Spirit of God in you. Mm-hmm. You have the same thing in you that I have in me, except for the call to do this. And so faith comes by hearing, even if the hearing comes from you. that your faith can grow 7 days a week, here or away from here. Simply come one day of the week, maybe Wednesday nights, and we talk again. It's all about faith because it comes from the Word of God. But I encourage you, and I have continually encouraged you, get into the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And so faith is found in the Word of God. That's all we got, is what the Word of God gives us. That's our direction. Now, if you don't have the Word to go by, you're going to start going by what's seen and going. And all this is darkness. And the best you can do is darkness is grope. And if it was pitch dark right now, and I said, everybody, I want you to go through that door, you hear chairs being kicked, you'll say, hey, you hear, hey, buddy, watch your hand, and so you finally get to the door. Here it is over here. You have to grope all the way to the door. But right now, if I say, everybody, get up and go to the door, you get up and you walk straight to the door and go through, not a problem. That's the difference in light and darkness. And this is the difference between walking by faith and walking by sight. Unfortunately, the sight that this world offers is a sight of darkness, especially spiritually. And if you don't walk by faith, you will grope in darkness. I don't know how else to tell you, but you will grope in darkness.
Amen.
So walk by faith, but also allow faith to come during your lifetime beyond just this. There, every once in a while, I don't watch Christian TV because there are too many different things that come on there. But every once in a while, somebody will come and preach the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't watch it, but I'm saying that every once in a while, somebody will come. That means, you know, I have to weed through all of the junk in order to get to the Word, so I just don't watch it. I just forget it because it's too much junk to get there. But thank God I've got a scripture I got, and I listen to Christian radio every once in a while. There's a preacher there, here and there, one or two out of the whole day that I like. And if I'm at a radio and I can, I'll listen to that particular preacher. I trust this particular preacher. And I'll listen to this preacher. I'll even send off for some of his CDs sometimes and come back and listen to his message, because this is a man that's connected to God, and I know that he is. But other than that, all the rest of it, even some of the Christian music, you have to be careful because a lot of it is nothing but noise.
Yes.
And some of the Southern gospel, they call it Southern gospel. There's no scripture in a lot of these things. They're just stories that they tell. Bluegrass, I like it, but they're just telling stories. The mountain through the clear blue sky and through the clouds on the top of the mountains. That's just how I am with him. And okay, well, where's the scripture? What scripture are you referring? See, a lot of these things, this music doesn't refer to scripture, and so it's just good music, but it's not scriptural, even though they say it's a Christian band, but they're not playing biblical music. It's not biblical words. I'm saying music is music, but the words aren't biblical. So you have to be careful what you listen to, because what you open yourself to is what gets in. And so I'm saying there are mediums there that you can also get where you can have the Bible playing in the background. Like my brother here has a problem being able to read. Well, if you can get your hands on one that's recorded, you can let it play in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a problem, you can read, or you can have a devotional or something, some kind of a way. Continue to get faith in. Let it come in. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And as long as it's God-centered and it's centered on God's Word, it's good for you. And I say, eat it to your heart content. It's sort of like sitting down for dinner. Give me a small steak, a little bit of more rice, and as much vegetables as you can fit on the plate, because the vegetables are really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other stuff is good. You need the protein, but right? And it's like faith. When you get the faith on it, just get it, eat as much of it as you can. Just eat it until your heart's content. Amen?
Amen?
Well, Father, we thank you for your word today on this faith, perpetuating faith. And help us, Lord, to move in this perpetuating area of faith, so we can learn to trust you more and be more like you. Father, touch everyone here today. I thank you for those that you sent. Father, I pray this word will stick to them in a manner that they'll never get away from it. But, Lord, that you will give the increase according to your will and your purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.